Ladies and gentlemen, I am Tony Chimmel, and welcome to Road Trip After Hours. Please welcome your hosts, Mac Davis and WWE Hall of Famer, Teddy Long. Holler!
Holler, player.
Mac Davis and WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long with Road Trip After Hours, 30-minute time limit. Teddy, how you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Just getting ready for Thanksgiving here. Me and you are right on the top of it. We call it Thanksgiving Eve. We're going to talk about a lot of people, but we're going to refer to them as turkeys because there's some real turkeys out there that's not only Thanksgiving, they're turkeys every day.
Absolutely. And let me bring that up then, Teddy. Let's talk about turkeys in wrestling. And it doesn't have to be just from this year. It could be, you know, over time, and it could be anything. But who are your choices for something? You know, give me an idea or two of people you would call your turkey.
Well, I had so much fun with JBL, so JBL would have to be one of my turkeys.
Oh, yeah.
Ron Simmons, another, he'd have to be one of my turkeys. We had such a great time with the Hall of Fame introduction, him and JBL inducting me. So Ron and John are my turkeys. And let me see, Godfather, he's another one of my turkeys.
Now, see, the turkeys I have in mind for me are a little bit different. I'm trying to think, wrestling-wise, who were the real turkeys in wrestling? No, the people that just for some whatever reason didn't work out. The first one that comes to mind, of course, has got to be WWE's gobbledygooker, or whatever they call that damn turkey bird that came out of the egg. Do you remember, were you there at that time, Teddy, or was that before you got to WWE?
I don't know.
You don't remember the turkey, yeah?
No.
Yeah, there was a wrestling turkey in WWE. It's called the Gobbledygooker, I think, or something.
Well, hey, I don't know who they probably dressed up to do that, but
I do. Let me tell you who it was.
Who?
Hector Guerrero.
Hector Guerrero. Wow.
I recall right, that's who it was. Yep.
Okay.
Another.
Well, Hector was a real nice guy, though. I enjoyed working with him, man. Great guy.
He was another one of those guys, I would imagine, kind of like Eddie and the other in the family, really, that they would do whatever they had to do to entertain as well as wrestle.
Well, that's what they were taught. You know, they learned the business the right way. And that was, thank God I'm blessed. I was fortunate enough to learn it the right way, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever you're out there to do, like I said on some of our other shows, when I was sent out to do something, I went to go put 100% in it. I was going to try to make it better than what they wanted it to be because I know that was my job.
Well, you know, Dusty Rhodes did that when he went into the WWE. He was made to wear those polka dots, and he made that polka dot gimmick get over. When you saw that, Teddy, you've known Dusty for years, way back before he made it to the WWE. Did that bother you to see him wearing those polka dots the first time he came out?
No, didn't bother me at all because I understand the business. You know what I mean? That's what the man wants you to wear. Then you wear the polka dots. But see, Dusty, I understood just like Dusty understood. You know, this is not real. So you can't embarrass me. I mean, maybe you could and some things you do. But at the end of the day, I still know it's not real. And everybody else understand. Not everybody, but some people do. So that's what I looked at it where, hey, Dusty went in. Here's what the boss said he wants him to do. Okay, no problem. I got it. So a lot of times they'll do stuff like that to see what the effect is. What are you going to do?
Right.
You know, how is it going to affect you? So I call it no sale. I don't sell nothing like that. You know what
right.
I mean?
If
this is what you want me to do, this is my job. I'm going to do it.
I got to tell you, as a fan and having grown up in the South and watching the Southern wrestling, when I first saw that happen, and multiple times ever since then, I've always felt like Vince had a thing against Southern wrestling. Like he thought it was just the bottom of the shoe type of wrestling. He never, to me, and I'm just saying, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but to me, it just always seemed like he favored the Northern wrestling and his only, and anything down South was just pure trash. And I hated that.
Well, I don't know. I can't speak on that. You know what I mean? Because when I went there, you know, I came from the South. And there are a lot of guys that came from the South that went up there that worked for Vince, you know, and he used them properly, did something with them. So, I mean, there may have been some guys out of the South that just didn't cut it. They didn't make it. So they might have gave Vince the opportunity to say that, you know, it was trash. So, like I said, once he told me one time, he said, Teddy Long, they really wasted you down South. So, you know, I'm just saying that's his opinion, and every man is entitled to that.
That's absolutely true. Now, let me mention one more turkey name from the Attitude Era. Ahmed Johnson, to me, had all the potential in the world. He had the size. He had the look. But it just didn't come together in the ring. What was his issue, Teddy?
I have no idea. I never did meet Ahmed Johnson, so I couldn't tell you anything about him.
I would imagine that Ron Simmons could probably tell you a story or two. So.
Well, Ron Simmons or JBL, those are two guys that could really tell you about Ahmed Johnson. But I never met him, never had a chance to talk to him or nothing, so I couldn't tell you nothing about it.
This past weekend, we are recording this on the, Teddy had mentioned earlier, we are recording this, and it's easy for me to say, the day before Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving Eve. And this past weekend, it was the return of the Elite at Full Gear for AEW. Young Bucks, Kenny Omega coming back. Kenny Omega looking fantastic. But my issue with the entire thing that happened this past weekend happened after the show. They had put out a video, and the entire last part of their video was FCM Punk over and over again in the video. For me, personally, I think it's immature. I don't think it's very businesslike, and I don't think it should be done that way. I don't think that you're saying that you can't give us information about what went on during that press scrum and why everybody got upset, but at the same time, you're putting F chants out there for CM Punk and highlighting that on your video. To me, they're trying to fuel a flame, but don't want to answer questions about what's going on. That's driving everybody crazy as far as the news media goes, because they won't answer questions.
Well, you know what I mean? I don't blame them. You know what I mean? The wrestling, you know, backstage sometime, you know, that's kind of our business and not the public business unless, you know, we get ready to let it out there. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I have to pay attention to a lot of things that I see. You know, this could be a work.
Look,
what I mean?
There's part of me, because I was going to mention another turkey. And the other turkey to me, and the biggest turkey of this year, was the press scrum as an event that took place this year. It ruined so much. If it's true that CM Punk is gone, and if it's true that all that stuff went on backstage and they can't get along whatsoever, nothing could get worked out, then the biggest turkey of the year would be Tony Khan. He allowed that to happen, first of all, by allowing what happened in the press conference to take place without stepping in and trying to take control. The follow-up and the news, not letting any news out after they had their investigations. And if it's not a work where CM Punk comes back and works at an angle, which would probably be one of the hottest angles that wrestling has seen in multiple years, if it's not that, the turkey of the year is AEW's Tony Khan.
Well, what we'll have to do is we'll have to just sit back and wait and see what happens. You know what I mean? So that's what I say before I even, you know, comment on any of this stuff that I see now. I have to sit back and wait, because I'm telling you, man, you never know when it's a work.
And if I'm being the fantasy booker kind of guy, I'm thinking, man, how great would it be to see CM Punk start coming ringside, just sitting in the audience? The guy who's not welcome there, the guy who's now showing up in the audience, and you know, the old Brian Pillman type of thing, the loose cannon, you know.
Well, that would be good too, you know. But I mean, I'd like to see him make his WWE return.
So you'd rather see him come back? This is a good thing to talk about here. You would rather see him go back into WWE than you would see him come back into AEW.
Well, yeah, right now I would. I'd rather see him go there, you know what I mean, and try to help those guys out. That's still money in CM Punk, okay? CM Punk can still draw money. So, And like I've always said, Hunter is a businessman, and that's what he's about, that dollar. So I think with CM Punk showing up in WWE would certainly be a shocker. You know, no one's really expecting that right now, but there is a rumor going around. But, you know, rumors are rumors. Correct. But to see CM Punk show up and maybe the guy to come in for CM Punk would be Nick Aldis.
You know, we talked about Nick Aldis last week, I guess it was. And I believe that was our other show on Sports Keto.
Well, we were talking about him coming in being the guy for Roman Reigns.
Correct.
But just think about that. You know, Nick Aldis, never been in WWE. CM Punk makes his big return, and you got Nick Aldis, who I think is an outstanding babyface. So, you know, that's what I would like to see.
Yeah, for AEW, I'd like to see CM Punk work out and find out that it was all a work. Part of me doesn't believe it's a work, though. It feels more like a shoot, because if it's a work, there are a lot of bad decisions in this work as far as, you know, how they look out to all the fans now, because they've lost their a large chunk of their audience has disappeared from all this. So, you know, I'm not sure if it's a work. It was not a smart work.
Well, like you said, Tony Khan is the boss. Okay, yep. So that's the end of story. That's the bottom line. So if he lets this go, or he does nothing about it, or if it's okay with him, then I guess it's okay with the boys.
And I'm sure I'll get heat for saying that about Tony. And I don't mean it to be mean to anybody. I'm just calling it what it is. It's just a shame that things turned out the way they have so far.
Right.
Let's see. Teddy, what else do I have for you? I think we need to take a quick break. We'll take 60 seconds, and we'll come back with the mailbag and find out what people have to ask. Teddy, how about that?
All right, no problem.
All right, we'll be right back. 60 seconds right here on Road Trip After Hours, 30-minute time limit.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by new 13 and a half lives cat food, the cat food that gives your cat 50% more lives than the leading brand. This, of course, is just an estimate, and your cat's number of lives may vary according to geographical location, weather conditions, and the relative number of large, vicious dogs in your neighborhood.
Also brought to you by
the National Hypochondriac Association, which reminds you to see your doctor twice a day.
Love to eat turkey, cause it's good. Love to eat the turkey like a good boy should. Cause it's turkey to eat so good.
Hey guys, this is Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson of the Rock and Roll Express, and we would like to invite you to listen to Road Trips After Hour, 30-minute time limit with Teddy Long and Mac Davis.
Hey Ricky, can you imagine doing something with Teddy Long and Mac Davis, them two guys together? Hell, they probably create some stormy weather.
Yeah, great times.
Teddy, it is time for listener mail and Ask Teddy. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Here's our first question. Comes from Jeff from Facebook, who asked, what was it like to be the ref in the Chi-Town Rumble and raising Ricky Steamboat's hand? Any stories you can share about Ricky or the match?
Well, Ricky, the Dragon Man, such an outstanding guy. And I don't know what I ever told you, Mac, but Ricky Steamboat is one of the guys that on every Christmas I've always called and wished. And his two people, they're Terry Funk and Ricky Steamboat. And I did that for over 20 some years to every Christmas to wish both of those guys a Merry Christmas. So Ricky is such a great guy. And to be in there with legends, you know, like Flair, Steamboat, you know what I mean? I mean, that's the highlight of your life right there.
Oh, yeah.
And especially at that time, you know, because both of those guys were blazing hot. And to be in there, man, golly, I mean, it don't get no better than that.
No, so, you had two of the greatest right there.
That's right. And so, you know, and speaking of that, you know, this Sunday I'm going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina at the Thornton Arena. And Ricky the Dragon Steamboat supposedly maybe he's having his last match, but he did contact me and wanted me to come and be a part of that. So great. I'll see everybody in Raleigh, North Carolina at the Thornton Arena.
Any memories of Terry Funk? You brought him up. Terry is one of those guys. Again, I'm a Southern wrestling fan. Terry Funk was a part of my history growing up. And any great memories with Terry?
Well, the thing about Terry, another super, super guy. And back in WCW, I had a chance to work with him. And that's where we really, you know, got to know each other. He had this segment called Funk's Grill. And so I was in Funk's Grill there with Norman the Lunatic. I had him and a couple other wrestlers. So and that's how I really met Terry. But Terry always kind of looked out for me. You know, I had some problem with some people there, and Terry kind of knew that. And so Terry kind of went to them and, you know, kind of got them off of me. So Terry, Harley Race, God rest his soul, another guy that, you know, kind of had my back a little bit. So I love Terry.
And I, you just mentioned Harley, and I do remember when Harley wasn't doing well, you would go visit him in the hospital. Yes. And did he talk much about wrestling when you'd go see him, or would he talk about the old days, or was he just focused on the future?
Well, we didn't, you know, wrestling didn't even come up. You know, when I went to see Harley in the hospital, you know, we just talked about, you know, hey man, you're going to get better. Don't worry about this. You know, just, you know, all this, you'll overcome it. You know, just, you know, keep your faith in God, pray, and everything will be okay. So that's kind of what we talked about there. But just, you know, I had to go see him, man. And it was so good for me that where in Missouri, I guess the hospital there, they didn't have the kind of medical facilities or what he needed. So they brought him here to Atlanta, you know, to see about him. And so that was absolutely great for me because now, I can go right down and see him. So I did get a chance to sit at his bedside with him and talk to him before he passed.
Teddy, all the people that you've been associated with in wrestling over the years and the matches that you've seen as well as you've reffed, is there one superstar that is your favorite wrestler?
I don't know, man. I mean, there's so many guys, you know, that not only that I worked with, but I had a chance to watch and see, you know, like the Undertaker, you know, he was, you know, always one of my favorites, you know, when I had the chance to manage him. Butch and Run were great. You know, to sit down and manage these guys and to be at the ringside and watch their performance in the ring, you know what I mean? That's what I kind of concentrated on.
Yeah.
And basically all the guys that I had were phenomenal, great wrestlers. There were some that were not, you know, but the majority of the guys that I had were great wrestlers. So I just have to say everybody that I managed, I thought was, was a great worker.
Bubba in Buffalo asked, what was your favorite storyline that you were a part of? Did we not discuss this recently?
Yeah, we did. I think basically I answered that with it was, you know, with me and the Undertaker when Undertaker kidnapped me. And the other, you know, maybe, you know, I had a lot of great storylines. The other one was the deal with me and Vicky Guerrero. That was one I loved. And the other one I loved, you know, I had the storyline with Drew McIntyre where he was supposed to be Vince's chosen one. And he had me on my knees, you know, and crying around, you know, and you know, couldn't, you know, talking about my grandkids and stuff. So that was a good storyline. So I, Drew McIntyre, Undertaker, Vicky Guerrero, all that was great stuff.
What happened with the storyline with Crystal? It seemed like that storyline just kind of ended all of a sudden. She was gone, or Bobby leave? Is that what it was?
Well, I don't know. I think the way I heard it is that, Vince was real serious about storylines. You know, we want to make everything as real.
Oh yeah,
and I think we were doing the deal where me and her were getting married, and I think she showed up over the Raw and left with Bobby Lashley. So, you know, now the people are looking at that. Well, I thought you was Teddy Long was getting married. You know what I mean? Because some people, you know, they believe.
Yep.
So that might have got a little bit of heat right there. I don't know, but I think she was the problem. I think she left or something, and that's why the story was supposed to be in that once I had the heart attack that her and Vicky Guerrero were going to take over. and run the show. And then I will come, after a while, I'll come back and take it back. And but I did do that, but I just only had to take it back from Biggie.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Stacy in Washington asks, what podcast do you guys listen to? Teddy, do you listen to podcasts?
Yeah, I listen to Wrestling Inc. That's the only podcast I listen to.
So Wrestling Inc., that's with Nick, right? Nick Hausman.
Yeah, Nick Hausman, yeah.
And, exactly. And Nick's a great guy, and that's a good website they need to go to, by the way.
And I also listen to, you know, Stories with Briscoe and JBL.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
One of my favorites is Jim Cornette. The Jim Cornette Experience. People will hate that I say that, but let me explain why I like it. And again, it's you know, different for everybody. Jim Cornette just represents and has the knowledge of what a wrestling match should be, as according to how I enjoy wrestling. So I side a lot with what Jim says, because Jim has real knowledge of what should be taking place in the ring that's not taking place in the ring. So, you know, love me or hate me, I just like Jim Cornette's view.
Well, I don't care whether you hate me or not. I like Cornette, too. I like his views, too. And the one reason I like him, because he tells the truth. And that, so that's maybe why people hate you, because you want to listen to the truth. But if you don't want to hear the truth, then, brother, you got a problem. So, like I said, I listen to Cornette, not, you know, frequently, but maybe somebody will buzz me and say, hey, man, Cornette's got a good one, you know, check it out. Then I'll go and check things out. But, yeah, I like Cornette. I got no problem with him.
There's another new one that Kevin Nash, I can't remember what the name of the actual show is, but Kevin Nash's new podcast is actually pretty good. It's interesting. They talk about everything under the sun, really. Politics, religion, wrestling, cars, you name it. They talk about it. It's interesting because it's different, which is what I like.
Well, that's what it has to be now. You know, things has to change. You just can't keep going the same road. You keep going, driving down the same highway. Eventually, you're going to run into a dead end.
Yep.
So, you know, and I think that's what's really, you know, unique about you and I. You know, we're different. We talk about everything. It ain't about wrestling. It's about, you know, what's going on in the world today.
Yeah, man. We really don't want to throw trash at anybody's way. We just bring up what's hot and what's talked about and keep moving on.
Well, if they deserve to be trash, they deserve to be trash.
I'm
not scared to say it.
Oh, I'll say it. I mean, look, I probably got heat with Tony Khan after what I said a while ago. Let's see. Chuck in Texas wants to know, what was Thanksgiving like on the road and away from your family?
Well, I had been away from my family for so many years on Thanksgiving and stuff, so it really didn't, you know, it didn't faze me, none whatsoever. You know what I mean? Because over 20-some years on the road, you know, there were a lot of holidays. Well, we always made it home for Christmas, but we left the next day, you know, right after Christmas, and went right back to work, so... My thing was this. I had a job to do. And like I said, I'll always say this. I never wanted to let Vince McMahon down. So wherever I had to be or where I had to go, I went. I worked in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada when we was doing the Undertaker stuff. And I worked on my birthday. And the reason I worked on my birthday, because I know Vince McMahon would have worked on his birthday. And he knew it. And he went, after we did one scene there, he come by me and he says, looks over at me and he says, happy birthday, and kept walking. So he knew, but he understood that I was just like him. I didn't let birthdays, holidays, none of that stuff get in the way of my job.
Teddy, you're going to be out of town this weekend in just another day, right? You're going to be hitting the road for North Carolina.
Going up to Winston-Salem, North Carolina for the big event every year up there that Tim Woody puts on. It's called WrestleCade. I'll be there along with Candice Michelle. I'll be at, her and I'll be at the table there, and also with Harvey Whipperton, Bruno, he'll be there. And a lot of others are. I know Ron Simmons is going to be a big part of that, too. And so it's going to be Rock and Roll Express. So it's going to be a lot of, you know, WWE, WCW former stars. Everybody's going to be at WrestleCade. And like I said, on Sunday, I'll be over at the Dorton Arena at Raleigh, North Carolina, with Steamboat, you know, doing his last match.
Teddy, you need to make sure you're sitting next to Ron when you're going to the merch tables, because Ron can sell ice to an Eskimo. Watching Ron work a table is an experience all in itself.
Brother, listen, what do you think I learned it from? I got it from Ron, okay? I'm hoping, I don't know where my table is, but I'm going to see if I can slide over there somewhere with him, and me and him can do a double right there, because me and him are really good together. So,
are.
I learned it from Ron. I learned it all. You're right.
I watched him at the last show that I saw him on, and I was sitting there with you, and I was watching him. Somebody came up to the table. They, well, I don't have any money. I don't have any money at all. By the time Ron was finished, he got about $100-something out of him.
Ron Simmons can sell you a water fountain.
Oh, man, can he ever. Right. I'm Mac Davis. He is WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long, and this is Road Trip After Hours, 30-minute time limit.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Holla, player. Holla, player.